Hey guys, you're listening to 88.3 WDCV FM, Carlisle, PA, the voice of Dickinson College. I'm Sophie, and this is my program, Bike Talk. So I've done two programs before this, one about just the biking at Dickinson and the CEASE program here in general, and then one on biking and wellness, so how biking and wellness interact and the different ways that your body reacts and is benefited by biking. So if you want to check those out, you can find them on our website, bikingatdickinson.edu/blog. So it's our blog post. So they're on there, or there's also links to them in our Instagram account, which is just biking at Dickinson, or Dickinson Biking, I think. Which is also a very cool account. So go follow if you're interested in really cool biking content. Yeah, so I've been trying to keep it up this semester since not everybody's on campus. And so we have a lot of cool shout outs from people on campus right now who are biking and people off campus biking. We just released a really awesome initiative called Global Rides, in which we highlighted students from around the world who use bikes and biking wherever they are. So you can find that link in our Instagram also. So go check that out. And today, I thought we would just talk about biking and climate change, so how these sort of intersect and what biking can kind of do to help climate change, since it's been prevalent in the news, it's been prevalent in, especially here at Dickinson, we have classes and majors centered around what we can do to help climate change. I am currently in a class where we are learning about climate change. I am in environmental science for non-majors, because I am actually a social major, but I think it's really awesome that Dickinson has classes for people who, like me, who aren't environmental science majors, so that they can still kind of interact and engage with information and content and the environmental science program here on campus. So that's what kind of led me to this biking and climate change, how they interact and what biking kind of does to counteract climate change, and the ways in which, kind of on that level, because last week I kind of talked about on a health level, like on a personal health benefits of biking, but this would kind of be the world global benefits of biking as a whole. So I did a lot of research and kind of came up with some information that I thought you guys would be interested in to hear, and for me to kind of talk about a little bit and connect with what I've been doing in classes and my work at CEASE. So, yeah. And also, if I say CEASE, that is our Center for Sustainable Learning and Innovation here on campus. And I do go into more of what we do in our first episode, so check that out if you're interested. But I am the biking intern for CEASE. And yeah, so I wanted to begin with like prefacing that climate change is a real and rapidly developing issue in everybody's lives today and in the world. And when looking at it in the news and even in my classes, the issue I feel like seems to be impossible to overcome from an individual standpoint, at least when I'm thinking about it. But I think that there are things that we can do as individuals in practice to promote this well-being of the planet. So I think that even if it is a systemic issue that I believe we have to think about sort of political changes, world changes, but also I think that can sometimes seem a little daunting to the individual. So I kind of wanted to go into individual things that the individual can do to help with climate change. And that one of those things is using bikes as a mode of transportation. So yeah, I wanted to point out that this is a systemic issue that, and to make a real difference, our national and world policies have to change and big steps have to be implemented. But to get to this mindset as a world community, I feel like the individual has to take steps to foster and expand these actions and ideas. So today we're going to look at biking and how just using a bike as a means of transportation can impact climate change as an individual. So biking is the most energy efficient mode of transportation that you can use to get around. So, a 2015 study by the Institute for Transportation Development Policy concluded that a dramatic increase, about 20%, in cycling worldwide could cut carbon dioxide emissions from urban passenger transport by nearly 11% in 2050. Which is pretty crazy, right? And though 2050 might seem like a long way away, in the scheme of things, like, this is still within my own lifetime and, like, within my friend's own lifetime, my family. So it's kind of crazy that we could change so much in that amount of time. So we also have small-scale examples as well, so not just, like, cutting carbon dioxide emissions worldwide. This is sort of small-scale examples. In a 2010 study by the Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies Center for Sustainability and the Global Environment University of Wisconsin-Madison, found that if 20% of people used bikes instead of cars for short trips in Milwaukee and Madison, Wisconsin, about 57,000 fewer tons of carbon dioxide would be emitted. And meanwhile, a 2011 study found that Barcelona's bike share program reduces carbon dioxide emissions in the Spanish city by about 9,000 metric tons each year. So these are just like small-scale changes in these towns and cities and how kind of big of an impact that even, you know, one city practicing biking as a means of transportation for most people does really help. And Barcelona isn't the only city with a bike share program. I mean, there's so many all over the globe that you can look at. And if you don't know what a bike share program is, or if you don't have one in your city, it's sort of this public collection of bikes that you can take out that are upkept by the city planning committee or just like the city government. And it seems I was looking into this, and there are some companies that do it, but it's also just sort of can be up to the city government to put into place. So it's like if you're ever like in one of these cities and you see these, you know, this like lines of heavy looking bikes that you can like pay to take out, that you can kind of see in any cities. I remember when I was in DC, this is 3 or 4 years ago, they had a lot of city bikes like this all around, and they also had like really nice subways and upkept public transportation. But one of the things that you would see a person, you know, biking to work or to, you know, just around DC on these city bikes, that they would have, and they would have little stations all around the city, like every couple blocks, and you could pay to take out these bikes for like usually like a day at a time to like a couple hours. So yeah, so there's a bunch of little companies that have those, and like I was saying, it is depending on the city you're in. Some cities have kind of their own system, but there's a system that I was looking into here. So there's something called the PBSC Power Biking, which has been very successful. This is used in Barcelona, where their numbers are coming from, where their, you know, biking is going into. And in the first year, the public bike share, so they're called bike share programs, they recorded about a 9% increase in ridership over the previous period. And access to bike share also increased significantly. And at the time of the launch, the new biking, it's called Biking, B-I-C-I-N-G, is the name of the company. They were able to venture into about 11 new places within Barcelona. So they were able to expand their range of which they could distribute these bikes and have them readily available to people getting around the city of Barcelona. Yeah, so they're used in cities all around the world. Closer to home, more than 8% of commuters in South Philly, east of Broad Street, use a bicycle to get to and from their jobs. This was according to the U.S. Census. Also in Philadelphia, the Center City District within Philadelphia is one of the top 10 cities for bicycle commuting to work. So using that sort of publicly ready available programs like the biking program or just, you know, their own bikes. So in cities like Philadelphia, it's becoming more and more prevalent, and the culture around biking to work, to school, just around the city to get place to place is becoming more prevalent and widespread across different communities and places within cities. So one thing that you also have to talk about when thinking about biking as a mode of transportation is the creation of biking infrastructure. So the creating of biking infrastructure like bike lanes, bike paths, and, you know, the use and upkeep of these city bikes, that programs that are out there. So from my experience, so I live in New Jersey. I'm from New Jersey. And I also, but I live here in Carlisle, PA for school. And so in both places, I have seen a lot of infrastructure around biking and how that impacts how much people are going to commute using bikes to get back and forth to work. So like where I'm from in, I'm from like central Jersey, pretty rural though. So like not in a city. And we have these, we have the Lawrenceville Hopewell Trail, which was, you know, paid for by the community, like by taxes and things like that. And it was through, you know, Hopewell Township that they created this like really long, really nice stretch of bike paths that lead. So there's like some that lead between parks in Pennington. I'm pretty sure they're mainly supposed to connect. We have a couple, we have the Bristol-Myers Squibb company by us, and I'm pretty sure they're supposed to sort of connect the different Bristol-Myers Squibb locations, but they also go through, you know, this place called Kunkel Park near me, Mercer Park, or Mercer County. So it was this program that was in development for years, I remember, just them trying to connect all these places around us in Mercer County. And recently they've just pretty much finished it up, I think. I'm not sure if they're thinking about expanding it or not, but you can essentially get from, this won't mean much to most people, especially if you're listening here in Carlisle, but if you're from my world of central New Jersey, you know, it connects where I am in Pennington to like Princeton, which is like our kind of biggest city. It's not even really a city. It's pretty like big town kind of thing. So it's just this availability of being able to connect these places so that people can use their bikes, you know, so they don't have to be taking these. We are back road America, you know, so we have the small back road kind of craziness where if you have bikers on these roads, it can be dangerous, and it can be, you know, definitely because with all these people commuting and cars and things like that, you know, it's always kind of dangerous around us to bike on the road with the cars. So it's created this sort of safer alternative to getting from place to place for commuters and for people going to school, for people, you know, trying to get into Princeton to go shopping or do whatever they need to do. So yeah, I think a huge part about this is to access to biking and, you know, so that we can sort of get more people on bikes and get more people riding their bikes to work, riding their bikes to school, as opposed to maybe driving, you know, and emitting that much CO2. And it's just kind of getting this, even having these bike paths, you know, like when I'm in the car or something, or when you're in the car and you see they have signs for these bike paths everywhere, and just having that option and kind of getting it into our minds, like, oh, like, I drove here, like, to this park or something, but, you know, there's this path here that I can take on my bike. So it kind of encourages people, I feel like, in my community. And, I really think that when they put those biking lanes in there, I did see a lot more people out on bikes, out, like, you know, taking walks and things like that, because there's kind of easier access to that kind of activity. And it sort of promoted this, bigger, I wouldn't say biking culture in my town, but I do feel like there's, you know, you kind of see the same people going out for walks and bikes and things like that, bike rides, and, you know, and families, and it encourages people to, you know, take that step and try biking, because there is this really nice bike path, like, right behind their house that they can use. So I think infrastructure like that, that's put in place by, you know, that local governments can use funds to create, is really important and powerful when it comes to transportation within, at least within rural communities. I'm using that right, right? I am a sociology major, and I get rural and urban mixed up, but I'm pretty sure I'm right, and urban is more like city. Which also leads into, you know, another discussion of what does urban city planning do with, you know, bikes and bike lanes, and, you know, how does that looks way different than, you know, creating these bike paths in a more, you know, rural community. And yeah, so I mean, it's a way that these local local governments can, I mean, promote and, like, foster a practice that, you know, everybody can do, everybody can try within their own towns, within their own cities. And I think that's really powerful when it comes to, you know, it's not like you're going on a, like, you have to ride to work to, like, you know, defeat climate change or something like that. When we pose climate change as a big issue on the individual, studies have found, and, like, I've talked about in classes and at my work here at CEES, is that, like, they're not going to be more inclined, they're going to be less inclined to sort of be able to take these individual things, and because they're so caught up, and I am guilty of this too, but you get caught up in that, like, is what one person, you know, is my choices really going to make a difference in, you know, the world ending or climate change really impacting where I'm living or other places. And so, I mean, when talking about climate change, I feel like it's kind of easier to relate it to things like biking or, you know, like, small changes you can make to your diet, like cutting out meat or, you know, processed foods once a week and things like that. So, like, I think being able to take these small steps and being able to encourage others and make it easier for others to take small steps, like biking to work, like buying from a local place or something like that, you know, how these small steps added together and like, practiced country or worldwide is going to make, you know, a difference, which is what we've seen in these smaller studies that I talked about before, is that, like, they're just looking at cities and how even an increase in biking in only, what was it, 8%? Yeah, or 20%. This study was 20% of people use bikes instead of cars for short trips. Not even understandable if you're commuting back and forth from, you know, very far back and forth. But just, like, you know, in cities and within towns, if you're just commuting small trips, they had seen that a lot of tons of carbon dioxide were prevented from being emitted. I mean, 20% of people is a lot, but, you know, if we have time. We have time to get up to 20% of people using bikes, and again, I think the way to get to that many people using bikes as modes of transportation is this access portion. And so promoting and encouraging local governments to put in place local infrastructure like bike lanes, like bike paths, are just small steps that we can kind of take, and we can still see a big impact. And I mean, I think that that's really awesome. So, I mean, if anything that I've kind of been talking about has sort of stuck with you, or, you know, if you have any ideas about biking infrastructure, or you know, you feel passionate about having safe bike lanes in your city or in your town, I mean, go to your local government, go to you know, the state, and I mean, I think that this is making a huge change in how we perceive sort of battling climate change with kind of everyday simple tasks that we do anyway, like biking to work or biking to school. I mean, here in Carlisle, I know that they've recently put in, there was a push to put in bike lanes on the roads, and that just, I mean, it promotes a culture of biking, and I mean, I think that that's really amazing, because I'm all about biking, and that's what's, I mean, from what research I've done, and, you know, the what I've been talking about is, like, you know, even if small portions of the population start biking, or, you know, start just taking, you know, instead of taking cars on small trips and just using biking, bike lanes, bike paths, or even just walking, or just being cognizant of, like, that, you know, I could take my car here to X place so far away, but, you know, if I have access to bikes and a bike lane, you know, whether that be my own bike or a city bike or bikes like here on campus that we use. We have the green bikes and the red bikes that students can loan out for a semester long period of time or for a day, just if they want to go, you know, down the road. I mean, I feel like at least here at Dickinson and in Carlisle recently, there has been push for this access to become widespread in the community and for that access to be used to sort of change the minds of how people see transportation and see how their individual transportation choices impact the environment. I mean, again, it's like we don't want to come off as like, you know, you need to make a huge change in your life to save the environment or to save the world, and that, like, also that there is definitely, like, systematic issues in our, you know, U.S. government and in local governments that, you know, it's, like, not everything is going to be solved by everybody hopping on a bike, you know what I mean? But at least it's something small and that you can do from home, that people, you know, if we push for more access to bikes, to bike lanes, to safe measures, like safety measures of, you know, putting up, when we put up bike lanes in the streets, making sure they're wide enough, making sure that the cars are abiding by rules and keeping those bikers safe, and, you know, promoting bike safety, wearing a helmet is also, you know, part of biking at Dickinson's. That's part of our programming too, is this bike safety aspect, and we have a lot of resources on that, and if people are interested, I can definitely make bike safety PSAs and things like that. I think that would be, you know, another good way to just getting these ideas out into the community, and I think that that these seemingly small pushes for change and these small changes that are being made are gonna really impact the world and how we live in it 10 years from now, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, and what it looks like. So, I mean, I think that adopting biking culture into our everyday, you know, U.S. culture and our and mindset and these and giving access to American citizens and giving people the choice to sort of make these changes in their lives that will benefit them, like I pointed out in my last episode on biking and wellness, or, you know, just benefits them getting to work, getting to school. And I mean, there are these small changes that we can make that make a huge difference when it comes to global climate change and, you know, how we view caring for our planet. And it shows a lot, I think. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of all I have for today, but if you guys have any comments or suggestions, I mean, I will still be the biking intern next semester, so hopefully we'll keep making these podcasts to come out later in the year. So if you have any ideas for any biking or sustainability related content that you want me to sort of do my little Sophie research on and come back to you with a bunch of crazy points and kind of stream of consciousness, my brain craziness, then like totally reach out on our social media, Biking at Dickinson, or the handlebar, I think, is our Instagram page, or at blogs.dickinson.edu. Yeah, so we have a blog page that you can go to from our website at Dickinson Biking, where you can also get these other podcasts, the two previous podcasts, and some PSAs. And I've recently recorded just a bike safety PSA about our ABC Quick Check. So if you want to know what that is, go check out another one of my recordings. And yeah, I hope that this kind of shed light on some environmental issues and how, you know, how biking sort of impacts that. So, have a good one.